not going to be fine. I will define myself. I will write my own praises. And no one will tell me what I can do not be. I will never go wrong. Not long I've given everything I've got. Because who am I?
I am the champion.
Who am I?
Live at AsylumFantasySports.com and heard worldwide on the Armed Forces Radio Network. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show.
Yes, indeed. We are Fligger and Briggs, and we are coming to you, as Rick said, on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Wherever you may be listening to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, we thank you. So drop us a line, please, at AsylumFantasySports@gmail.com.
Get those lineup questions in. It's playoff time, Rick, at Asylum Football on Twitter.
Yep, and you can tell it's playoff time because the questions have started to dwindle a little bit because a lot of people aren't in anymore.
They have become less in number but more panicked in the questions we receive.
That's
a lot
true.
Of defense kicker questions, a lot starting with, I need every point I can get. So
yeah, the last couple of weeks we've had if I don't win, I'm out.
Yep.
Or I need every single point, blah, blah, blah.
Do I start the Raiders defense? We didn't get a lot of Raiders defense questions back in October. All of a sudden, they become real relevant.
And that is one thing that we're bringing that up. The last couple of weeks, we have actually had more questions than I would have thought about the Seattle defense. You know, trying to play a matchup with the Seattle defense. And I tell you what, after New Orleans went to Seattle, ride them.
Oh, absolutely.
They're just
especially,
don't play matchups with a defense like that.
No, especially if Seattle's playing at home. I don't. Maybe if they were in New Orleans, I'd entertain that thought. You know, look, I know you need every point you can get. And the kicker thing, and I think, guys, you can always tell they hesitate to ask it. I think you call into other shows, you call into the big networks with a kicker question, they'll hang up on you and call you horrible, horrible names. However, I get it. You got weather concerns. You got things like that. That's what you start looking at. Your defense, if you've been playing matchups all year, keep playing matchups. If you got the Seattle Seahawks on defense, play the Seattle Seahawks. I don't care who. Like, maybe New Orleans on the road. Maybe if they went to Denver, I'd entertain it a little bit, but the Seattle Seahawks, you don't have to worry about. Get them in your lineup.
That's true. There's a few sure things, and Seattle's one of them. Tell you what, Arizona's another one. You got that defense, you just ride them. I mean, you may have a bad game, but let's face it, some of these ones that were vaunted last year, like Chicago, with all the injuries and everything, people going through them like water through a screen door,
and it's
horrible. Yeah, I mean, that's a defense to play matchups with.
Yeah, certainly, no doubt about it, after you saw what they did last week, what they didn't do, I guess I should say. Well, Rick, let's jump into, let's mention, too, also heard, not live, but we can be heard on the RF Sports Radio Network at rfsportsradio.com. Check them out there. Make sure you give the Armed Forces Network a follow, at the AFRN on Twitter. Let them know you're hearing the show there. We definitely appreciate it, and so would they appreciate knowing you're here in the Asylum on the Armed Forces Network.
That's true. Go to their website, Armed Forces. What is it?
Armedforcesradio.co.
Co.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go so there and email the program director. Tell them you like the Asylum.
Yeah. Well, our buddy Dennis Farrell is the program director there. Hit his link. Let them know you like the show and what you want to hear. So let's jump into it, Rick. Enough shilling here. Let's hit some headlines. Big news, we're going to play Fact or Fiction later on in the show. We're going to talk some hockey. We're going to talk some beer. I don't know what else you could possibly want in this show. This is the nice thing. While we're in the playoffs, fantasy season winding down a little bit, we can do what we do best and just go off on just about anything you want. Call into the show if you'd like. If there's just something you want us to rant on, send us a tweet, an email, anything stupid you want us to talk about, we're happy to do it.
Yeah, we like to call it Tangent Radio.
That's what we do, and it's what we do best, certainly. But let's get back to the fantasy football briefly. Rick, you know Matt Elam? Ever heard of Mr. Elam? Not the kicker, Jason.
No,
Elam.
I know. Yeah,
Matt,
he's the rookie cornerback for Baltimore.
Yeah, he needs to learn to shut his mouth, according to Coach Harbaugh. Anyhow, as asked about facing Calvin Johnson this week, a very formidable matchup. Mr. Elam seems unconcerned. He says, we're just going to get physical with him because he's getting pretty old. So,
yeah.
Poke Calvin Johnson. Good plan there.
Yeah. And say what you want about John Harbaugh, whether you like him or not. He's no dummy, and I think he will have something to say to Mr. Elam about those comments.
Yeah, he came out, basically made it clear that Mr. Elam was to be seen and not heard for the remainder of the season. Joe Flacco even weighed in saying, you just kind of look at him and say, dude, what are you thinking? It's
right.
Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's the quote of the day there. Joe Flacco sums it up very nicely.
Yeah.
Dude, it's Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
The Megatron himself, he didn't keep quiet on the issue. Surprisingly, he was displeased with this statement. He came out and he said, I'll show him what this old man's strength really is. I like that. And then sort of questioned Mr. Elam's playing style, saying he stays back off the line. And he says, I don't think I'll see him on every play unless I'm running past him. So, it must be nice to be that good. He can say that and he can mean it. So, Mr. Elam, I don't know if this is how he gets himself hyped up. You know,
good luck.
You know, coaches don't like the bulletin board material. And just if we had a segment that was called Shut Up this week, it would go to Jason Elam. Just shut up.
Yeah, there's just certain things.
Elam. I'm sorry. I got Jason Elam on the mind.
There's just certain things you don't do. I mean, you don't rile Calvin Johnson.
No.
You don't slap a grizzly bear upside the head.
When you're asked about Calvin Johnson, you say, yeah, he's the best wide receiver in the league. We're working hard in practice. We're getting ready. We're going to do everything we can to contain him. There's the answer. And I've never played in the league, and I know the answer to that question.
And I can say the same thing. You better say the same thing about Brandon Marshall, A.J. Green, Andre Johnson, Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, at this point,
I mean, this is ridiculous. You just don't bash somebody like that who you don't know if you can handle.
No, he does know if he can handle him, and the answer is no.
Well, yeah.
No, there's your answer right there.
Stupid.
No, so shut up, Mr. Elam. Moving on, more news of the weird coming out of the NFL today. The Texas Rangers, Rick, drafted Russell Wilson in Major League Baseball's Rule 5 draft. Think Russell makes the move?
I don't believe so. Something tells me that Russell Wilson is probably set pretty well in Seattle, and he's probably going to have a busy January, you know, maybe even February.
Yeah, that's what I think that's what it comes down to. Just a fun little story. I like what the Rangers did here. Look, this isn't Bo Jackson. This isn't Deion Sanders. I don't see anybody in this day and age trying to play both sports. What this is, I found in a story somewhere, it cost them $12,000. There's a $12,000 transaction fee. They don't have to pay him. They don't have to sign him. They just own his rights. His rights had been owned up to this point by, I believe it was the Colorado Rockies. He was drafted by the Orioles. The Rockies acquired his rights at some point, and their rights just expired. They didn't protect him. So for this $12,000 transaction fee, knowing Russell Wilson probably goes deep into the playoffs and, in my opinion, goes to the Super Bowl, the Texas Rangers will be mentioned over and over again on what will each and every week be the highest-rated TV show that week whenever there's an NFL playoff game on, or especially the Super Bowl. You get your name mentioned. It's actually marketing genius, and it's a fun story. Russell Wilson just said he was honored to be selected and left it at that.
But yeah, and that's a good thing for him to say. But, you know, from that standpoint, to me it's kind of silly. I can understand, actually, the Orioles or the Rockies owning rights to him, because up until last year, he was basically going to be a backup.
Right.
And if there was a prospect of maybe him being a starting Major League Baseball player as opposed to a backup quarterback, you know, that's maybe not a bad move. But let's face it, Texas knows this guy's going nowhere. He's a starter for Seattle.
He's developed into one of the top, eight, nine quarterbacks in the NFL right now. I'd be hard-pressed to name you seven better than him right now.
Exactly. And you're on a great team. To me, it's just a silly move, but for $12,000, why not?
$12,000 marketing, I think that's really what it comes down to. Rick, this is an interesting story. I wonder what you think about it. It'll tie into our hockey talk a little later on. Roger Goodell, in an interview, said he's considering making all replays come out of one area, come from the league office, similar to what they do in the NHL. All replays go to Toronto. A little bit interesting. Curious what you think about that.
I think the replay thing, it has its place, but it's almost getting so carried away.
It was that last Thursday we did this, or on Sunday. There was on a show I flipped out about this. Everything coming down to micro inches at this point.
Yeah, and I don't want to get back into that again. However, we saw the play with Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in the end zone.
Oh, God. Just
fell short of the end zone. definitely down, crossed the end zone. They called a touchdown. Throw the challenge flag.
No, they didn't call it a touchdown. That's the frustrating part.
Oh, yeah, they, excuse me.
They get it right, and that's right. What's unacceptable. They get it right on the field.
Right.
They go to replay, reverse it to the wrong call. That's completely unacceptable.
It is, and it was so clear that the guy grabbed his ankle.
Yeah, that's why he was on the ground.
That's why
Otherwise, he wouldn't have been on the ground.
It was just hideous. And announcers were saying that, and I can't remember the referee's name, Terry, I think.
McCauley?
I'll
look it up. You go
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I'm not
I'll
sure. But he said he needs to be looking for another job. And
he should be. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, that was just ridiculous. There's nobody in the right mind. Look, these guys are extensively trained to be referees, much more than I am. And I could get under that hood and see that guy tripped him. He said he was not down by contact, and that is just totally ludicrous. But getting back to your question at point, I think.
It was Jeff Triplett.
Yeah, Jeff Triplett.
All right, sorry. Go
I
ahead.
Think it may be, number one, it's going to be slower.
Oh, God, yeah. Sorry.
Because there's so many games going on.
And they're
on
all going on at one time. See, this works in the
time.
NHL, but there's probably, what, 5-6 games going on at one time. You got
and
eight,
how many things
games.
Do they review in hockey as opposed to football
goals,
as well?
Goals only.
Exactly.
Goals only. They replay every stinking play in
right.
the NFL.
So, I mean, number one, it's going to slow the game down. Number two... In a positive note, you being the beacon of positivity that I am, it could be at least more consistent.
Yeah, well, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, at one central place, at least they're either going to get them all wrong or they're going to get them all right, but at least it'll be consistent.
That's true. That's true.
I mean,
rules that way.
That is one positive I can see of it, but it is getting carried away. There's no more human element into it, and... There's so many times, I mean, look, they still argue about the immaculate reception, who it
hit. Right.
And, you know, that's what legend and lore is born from. And now it's like these machines. But like you said, then you go back and they look at the film on the Cincinnati game and they still get it wrong. So
well, and to get it right on the field. And
right.
I think that's why Triplett needs to be concerned about his future in the NFL. You get it right on the field, which to these guys credit, and that's one of the things I find most frustrating about how much replay they're using. By and large,
yeah.
at the end of the day, they get these calls right. I don't know how they see it at full speed, at the angles they're at. They
right.
get it right 98% of the time without replay. It's amazing.
I think that's fine.
But that's good enough for me. It really is.
And the fact that every scoring play is reviewed, to me, is ludicrous.
It is. It's absolutely.
And I'll tell you another thing that I think it will cut down on, which I'm not a favor of. I guess technically it is okay. But you know how they'll dive and they stick their arms out at the pylon
right.
and this, that, and the other. Well, then automatically it goes to the replay to see if it crosses. I think a guy would be a little less eager to do that knowing that if it's not reviewed and the guy calls it a fumble on the field.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And – I don't know. It just seems like there's so much more loose handling of the football down around the goal line.
Certainly.
And I don't like that. I mean, I understand if it crosses the plane no matter what and it goes vertical.
I never liked that rule either. That's a different discussion for a different day.
It is. And we could go a complete show on that. But I think it's going to slow the game down. However, it may be more consistent.
Yeah, my take on it, just briefly, I don't want to get wrapped up in this for the rest of the segment, is this. I don't want to see them all go back to New York, which is where I assume it would be. I know your suggestion when we were talking before the show was Canton, which would be even more fun.
Yeah, I think that'd
and,
be great.
And note Roger Goodell, we could be at Canton in like 2 hours, so we'd be willing to help you out with
I'll
that.
I'll go there Saturday night, be there first thing tomorrow.
I
don't
assume
worry
Roger
about
Goodell's
it.
Listening, so Roger, give us a call. However, I don't want to see it go back there for the reason of slowing it down. But when they're reviewing every scoring play, the referee isn't looking at every scoring play. Have a replay official looking at everything, sort of like they do in college. And they buzz down, or like in the last 2 minutes, they buzz down and say, but do like they do in college where the replay official takes a look at it and makes the call. Why are we running over? We go under the hood. We do that screwing around. It takes 15 minutes.
Right.
All of this. Eliminate that. Have one guy who looks at the replays. Because I think when you talk about human element, and I don't think these guys do it by and large, but human nature is going to be you called it a touchdown. You're going under that hood. with the mind that that's
right.
a touchdown.
Exactly.
And if to their credit, if most of the time when it's obvious, they do reverse it. But if you want 100% transparency,
right.
take these guys out of it. I made this call. Now let's have a guy looking at the video. Let him make the call. They don't all have to go to New York, but have a replay official.
That's a great point. And I don't see why you can't have, hey, look, you have a referee. You have an umpire. You have
right.
a back judge, a side judge, and so forth.
Now you got a replay. Well, there is a replay official, but they don't let him make any calls.
Well, but that, you know, just give him –
Right.
Not only the title, but give him the authority
right.
that when it comes to something like this, if we're referring to you,
right.
if I'm the referee,
now it's your call.
I'm the referee, I'm head of this team. However, now I'm deferring to you on this call. What he says goes.
Yeah,
simple as that.
Simple as that. I never understood why we let the referee spin back. All right, let's move off that, Rick. Jay Cutler, we'll finish up the segment with this. I find this interesting. Jay Cutler looks to be back healthy. Going to start for the Bears this week. If you're listening on the Armed Forces Network, he started for the Bears a few hours ago, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But the way Josh McCown's playing, Rick, that's why I bring this up. Do you make this switch? I know the old adage, you don't lose your job to injury, but Josh McCown's playing some serious football right now.
Yeah, I still think you put in Jay Cutler. And yeah, he is playing good, but he's doing his job as a backup quarterback. You come in and you win games. Earl Morrow made a career out of doing that back in the days, you know, backing up Johnny Unitas and Bob Greasy and so forth. But look, he's 34 years old. He still has I think he's below 500 record.
True.
He is certainly thriving in Tressman's system. I will say that. And, you know, and Jay Cutler's has certainly improved.
He played well as well.
He's
so.
Playing well. He just been battling some nagging injuries. If he's 100%, I say Cutler is the guy. If for some reason he goes out there, there's tightness in that ankle or knee or whatever it is now, or even the groin, right, yank him and get McCown back in there. Because right now you can't afford to pull the old Shanahan and the RG3 thing. You are fighting for playoffs, and if your starter doesn't look right, get that quarterback that's playing in there that's 100% because you got to play to win games.
Did you ever see Rebecca Harlow on the NFL Network?
Can't say that I have.
She's a good egg, that one.
Oh,
and it's got
shit.
Nothing to do with anything, just a point. Back to your point, Rick, 8.5 out of 10 times I agree with you. Right now, Josh McCown, I think, gives you the best chance to win games. He is playing that well. This guy's been a top 10 quarterback over the last 3 or 4 weeks, not only in terms of real-life football, but in fantasy football. This guy's got a rapport with Alshon Jeffrey that I don't think Jay Cutler ever did. Look,
Cutler's got the rapport with Brandon
you're
Marshall.
You're right. Josh McCown isn't your long-term solution. This is it for him this year. But I think right here, right now, they're winning games when they have to win games. You go out Monday night and just blow the doors off the Dallas Cowboys. Josh McCown, I can't find a justification for taking him out of a game. He's not only managing the game, he's moving that offense in a different way. Forte has thrived, both of these receivers. Brandon Marshall's getting his. Alshon Jeffrey's gone completely through the roof. I got to tell you, Rick, I like Josh McCown right now, and I think I stay with him.
Yeah, I'm not going – you can make arguments both ways. I certainly agree. He's playing well. There's no question about that. And Chicago, with all their defensive problems, they're putting up points. And, you know, albeit going against Dallas, you know, you said they made mincemeat out of Dallas, but – of course, it's probably the worst defense in the league right about now.
Well,
actually have a little story on
maybe
that.
Maybe the Bears' defense.
That's true. But, hey, we got to take a break right now, and we will be right back.
All right, Rick, we are back on the Armed Forces Radio Network talking fantasy football, getting ready to talk beer, talk hockey. But, Rick, I think we got to start the one headline we didn't get to in segment one with the RG3 saga down in Washington, D.C. It's like soap operas for men is what it is.
That's exactly what it's like. And, you know, just before we go, you know, I will defer to you, and, you know, I don't like to agree with you a lot, but I'm just looking closely during the break at Josh McCown's stats, and, you know, the guy's holding 109 QBR.
And, yeah, I mean, he's just
13 touchdowns, one pick. I didn't realize he only had one interception, to be honest with you. And, I mean, he's putting up Nick Foles-type numbers as far as that goes. And, yeah, maybe you ride that horse. He starts to struggle a little bit. Now you got Cutler ready to come in. So it may not be a bad thing, but I guess Cutler is the guy going. So maybe you see Elshon Jeffrey's numbers going down and Brandon Marshall's coming back.
You wonder. That's what you saw at the beginning of the year. Elshon Jeffrey was one of those enigma type of players in the beginning of the year. He'd go off 11.
I was high on him.
11 grabs for 240 yards, and he'd disappear. He'd have four catches over the next 2 or 3 weeks, and then he'd spike back up. That's what you saw. Elshon Jeffrey has become the 1B to Brandon Marshall's 1A. Their numbers have been equal. They've both been putting up big numbers. I think McCown's just playing that well at this point, and you hate to see him getting I understand, and that's the old adage, and that's what their Trestman's going to go with here, but I got to think Jay Cutler's got a short leash. I do believe that. I think right now, ride the hot hand when he gets cold. Boy, it'd be nice to have Josh Cutler waiting in the way, Jay Cutler waiting in the wings if McCown goes down or starts to slow down. It's a good situation to be in, if you ask me.
Yeah, it certainly is, and Josh McCown has done nothing but be extremely professional about the whole thing. You know, you never see coming out of Chicago, or do you think you should still be starting, blah. You know, it's a non-story.
No, you don't hear about it. No, it hasn't been really debated anywhere.
But speaking of professionalism and debacles and everything else, let's move on to the Washington Redskins.
Sure, we can't talk more about Rebecca Harlow.
No, you can just sit there and look, and I'll talk about
Washington
Redskins.
I have Google imaged her, so you go ahead and take care of Mike Shanahan. Me and Rebecca will be over here.
Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, Mike Shanahan basically had a really nice press conference back on December 11th and covered a whole bunch of topics, mostly about himself, Dan Snyder, and RG3.
Mostly about himself. That says it all right there.
And, you know, he actually, at the end of the press conference, says, I've talked more right now than I have in the last 6 months. Well, you know, whose fault is that? They've been asking you questions. And on his relationship with RG3, you know, he said, my job is not always to be somebody's friend. It's to coach him. And, you know, my job is to get the best out of somebody.
You know, I hate hearing that.
I know.
My job isn't to be your friend. Yeah, we all know that. But at the same time, your job isn't to be a giant jerk either.
Right, exactly.
And ruin tank a kid's career. But go ahead.
But, okay. Now, we all know, in case you haven't heard, I guess we should maybe clarify, Robert Griffin III has been benched basically for the rest of the year for Kirk Cousins.
Ridiculous. We talked about it last week, I believe, or Sunday. I can't keep them all straight.
Right. Now this is the coach that got the $35 million deal and total control going into Washington.
Total control.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I got to make the decisions. Fine. Well, now when Shanahan's pressed against the wall, he comes back and he says that he did not even consider it till after his consulting with Snyder. So basically, indirectly, he's throwing it back on Dan Snyder.
Right. He's throwing Snyder under the bus.
Exactly. You
know, his only defender at this point.
Yeah. And he goes, I talked to Dan Snyder, and I'm quoting, about a week ago. Talked to him about the amount of hits Robert has had. Anytime you've been hit as many times as he's been hit, I thought it was in his best interest and the organization's to talk about whether we should continue playing Robert if he's been hit as much as he's been hit. Okay, before we take that any farther, does anybody remember John Elway in Denver?
Oh, just got the heck beat out of him at all times.
And did he ever think of taking John Elway out of a game?
Never. Never would consider it.
No. Does okay.
John Elway is the only reason we consider Mike Shanahan a good coach.
Well,
after John Elway retired and what you've seen here in Washington, that tells you who Mike Shanahan really is.
Of course it does. Of course it does. And Robert Griffin III does not – and not defending him totally either.
No, he's played poorly.
He's been playing poorly, but he's also been handling himself – not in the most utmost manner in some of these press conferences.
Donovan either. McNabb, yeah. Like I believe is the,
I did.
Is what you used. I really enjoyed that. There are some similarities there.
Yes, I mean he really reminds me of Donovan McNabb. It's never my fault. It's everybody else.
Right, right.
Shanahan. It's not my fault. It's everybody else. And Dan Snyder, in his defense, who I can't stand, hasn't really said much anything.
It's hard to defend Dan Snyder, but I think at this point you have to.
Right. So that was that with the press conference. Then, in another interview, our old friend John Madden was on, I think Sirius XM it was. And he didn't take too kindly to Mike Shanahan benching RG3. And I'll read you just a couple of things that he said. I mean, you know it's baloney, Madden said.
Baloney. Strong words from John Madden.
He goes, I like Mike Shanahan. I'm not talking behind his back. I'm sure he never talked about it behind anybody's back.
I don't think he has to.
No. But when you say something like that, you know it's not right. You're not going to sacrifice regular season games. There are only 16 of them a year. You're not going to sacrifice regular season games for an off-season program. I think it's a dysfunctional group, Madden said. I don't understand what they're doing. It's hard to take, well, we're watching out for RG3's health and his welfare. You know, if you felt that way about his health and welfare, you probably would have done something about it a year ago.
Right.
And there is the crux of the whole thing.
Bingo.
And then, so he goes on and on saying it's a bad call, which I agree totally 100% when it comes to that. Then the writer in the last paragraph, which really struck me, says, it's surprising to see the usually mild-mannered Madden go after someone like this. And I'm saying, this guy has to be young.
Yeah, to think.
Because I remember vividly John Madden on the sidelines as the Oakland Raider coach, a raving lunatic,
his hair
standing straight on end, shirt tail out, there's sweat flying off him, there's slobber coming out of his mouth, his arms are going everywhere. Mild-mannered? Honest to Pete.
Yeah, that may be a little bit off. Getting back to RG3 and the Shanahan deal, when your son's the offensive coordinator and he is quoted as saying he is disappointed in the decision to bench RG3, that tells me a little something. Here's what tells me this is all just grandstanding by Mike Shanahan. He stated today that even if Kirk Cousins is hurt, we will not see RG3 again. Rex Grossman will be the backup. RG3 is going to be inactive. So this isn't a benching. This is a complete shutdown. This is a Derek Bell, if you're an old Pirate fan, this is Operation Shutdown is what this is here. Completely absurd. I've got to wonder, Rick, at this point, is Mike Shanahan trying to get fired?
Well,
is that what it comes down to? Does he want to be fired?
I think it's either that or, put it maybe in this perspective, is there a ring of truth to what he's saying? Did Dan Snyder go, look, pal, you're out of here next year? I am not losing my franchise.
Maybe.
I mean, you're saying maybe this is Snyder's call?
You think
it's possible, but you know, I don't have any idea, obviously. But it's got to be one or the other because there's no team on the face of the earth that acts this. They're like a bunch of little girls.
Oh, and it's been like this for a long time.
Look at the Jonathan Martin and the Rich Incognito thing.
You don't hear about
it
anymore.
Joe Philbin has done a marvelous job bringing this team together. They're over 500. There's fighting for the playoffs.
That team's made a run.
Playoffs.
That team has made a run, and you haven't heard about it again.
No.
It was the hot news for a week and a half. It went away.
Exactly.
It's over. You got this Mike Shanahan, Dan Snyder, RG3 triangle completely manufactured. There's no reason for it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. If he's healthy, he plays. Dr. James Andrews, it's the man, all
right?
That's the man. Dr. James Andrews is to orthopedic surgery what I am to sports broadcasting. That's how solid he is, Rick. And Dr. James Andrews says he can go ahead and play. He's healthy. He's ready to go. So Mike Shanahan doesn't make that call. To John Madden's point, he didn't worry about it last year when he had a partially torn ACL
and made him
play in those playoff games because they finally made the playoffs to take on Seattle until he completely blew it out and put himself in the perilous situation he was in the offseason. Look, the kid hasn't been the same. He hasn't been.
No.
He lost something. But the team you put around him, garbage. The coaching staff around him, garbage. This kid has been completely set up to fail. All he's done, and we give him a hard time and acting Donovan McNabb-like, but at the same time, it's hard to blame the kid. They've done everything they can to ruin one of the most promising careers you've seen in the last 10 or 15 years in the National Football League.
And I have you just look at a couple of other teams this year. Jacksonville. Started off, I mean, they were we were, you know, not us basically really making fun, but just basically saying this team just isn't in the same league as some of the others.
They stink, and they're winning games.
But they're, well, they're playing as a team.
Right.
They have not given up on the season. It is not tanked.
From a talent perspective, they stink,
yeah,
yet they win games. That's what you can do as a team.
Exactly. That is. They're playing as a team. And there's a lot of other teams out there playing with a lot of you know, problems. Like we brought up Miami. Yeah, Pittsburgh. Look, they're a mess.
Oh, disaster.
And it's a horrible season for Steeler fans, but let's face it, they're still alive in the playoffs, and they're not going to make it. I know that, but they're still reasonably alive, and there's some sort of resemblance of positivity there. And the Rams, you know, they lost Sam Bradford for the year. Struggling, still maintaining. You know, Jeff Fisher's holding them together. I mean, this is supposed to be Mike Shanahan, a two-time Super Bowl coach. You would think, you know, Mike Shanahan, this is one guy that could hold them together. He's lost control of that team. I mean, people talking in the media, it's just a ridiculous mess.
Well, here's the deal. He's a two-time Super Bowl-winning coach, but
well,
he's not.
I know that.
John Elway won him two Super Bowls. We've
I
seen
agree.
Who he was since. One playoff game since John Elway retired. I wasn't too far out of high school, Rick, when John Elway retired. Mike Shanahan is not who we think he is. He's not this offensive genius.
No, he is who I think I am.
Well,
who
Dan
right.
Snyder thought he was when he handed him $35 million
right.
and carte blanche to destroy what was already a pretty perilous situation down there. And I feel bad for these D.C. fans. That is a proud franchise that has just been a joke, a complete joke since Dan Snyder came on. You finally think they get some stability by bringing in, while my personal feelings about Shanahan aside, sort of a figurehead, a real coach in the NFL, not Saban for a year and all the gimmicks they tried up there.
Yeah.
And this is what Mike Shanahan, that's just a soap opera. It's a disaster, and I feel bad for Redskins fans.
And seeing what Dan Snyder has done to previous coaches, I don't feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the fans. But he had Marty Schottenheimer in there, had him 8-8 his first year. Boom, he's gone. And with Brad Johnson as quarterback and some of this kind of nonsense. And, you know, I just don't.
Well, forever Dan Snyder's trying to run that like your fantasy football team. It works on your fantasy league. It doesn't work in the NFL, and that's what Dan Snyder's tried to do.
Yeah, well, before we get to break, I'd like to cover another fantasy football owner.
Let's do it.
And because while all the attention's on Dan Snyder and the Redskins, another one of our favorite people, Jerry Jones, brought a little attention to himself. And, of course,
not Jerry Jones.
Dallas' defense is among the worst in the NFL this season, of course. And it's kind of funny because he is quick to back his defensive coordinator, Monty Kiffin, on Monday in an interview. He did go after one person, DeMarcus Ware.
Good move. All right.
And he expects more out of the defensive captain. Quoting Jerry Jones, I don't know as far as evaluating where he is at his talent level as it regards to age, Jones said this week on KRLD-FM in Dallas. He's a remarkable athlete.
We're available, by the way, to that radio station.
I'll interview Jerry. He's a remarkable athlete. That shouldn't be the case at all. I don't know what that means, but he should actually be in the prime of his career, candidly, strength-wise, explosion-wise. That's one of the things we got to, I think, count on him having more impact in the game as he moves away from his injury. Now, I can't stumble and bumble a lot like Jerry goes through this thing, and that's why when you read it, it's kind of choppy. But basically, he's calling him out. And, you know, he's missed three games this year, DeMarcus Ware. He's got six sacks so far, and, you know, he's had 11 or more in each of his past seven seasons. Well, he's missed three games, and he still has three to go. I don't think that's a real, you know, far away from an 11-sack pace.
Well, put some talent around him. If you want more out of him,
agreed.
Put some talent around
agreed.
Him.
Agreed. And yeah, they've had some injuries on defense as well.
Right.
And, call out DeMarcus Ware.
Of all people, exactly. And you're backing the defensive coordinator. You're backing, obviously, yourself as the GM. And to put it all on your star player, you've got no talent around him whatsoever. It's ridiculous. Why you go after your players, that makes no sense.
And the Cowboys, they have three games to go. They got the Packers, Redskins, and then the final game against Philadelphia. And, you know, maybe he's trying to light a fire under DeMarcus Ware, but I think if you're going to mouth off, go after whose fault it is. This is not DeMarcus Ware's fault.
No,
if the guy's been playing injured, I mean, hats off to him because he's still out there.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
And half of DeMarcus Ware is better than 100% of any of those clowns they have out there now.
True. Hey, before we go to the break.
All right.
This is the second installment.
Okay.
Remember last year, last winter, the five beers.
Yes, I like beer.
That have lost the most percentage of business over the last 5 years.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to count them down, top five.
5-1. Here we go.
Old Milwaukee.
Yeah. Do they still make that?
Their
sales. We call it Beast.
We used to call them Old Skunkers. It has dropped in the last 5 years 54%.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys buying Old Milwaukee.
Miller Genuine Draft.
Oh, that was good beer, too. That's the champagne of beers, Rick.
No, not Miller High Life.
Oh, that's High Life.
Genuine Draft.
Oh, yeah, I like High Life. Yeah, you can get rid of Genuine Draft.
56.4% drop in the last 5 years. Milwaukee's Best Premium.
Oh, the Beast. That's the Beast.
That's another Miller's Coors there.
Yeah, that's no good. No good.
Minus 58.5%.
How has that fallen off? So aren't there college kids getting drunk anymore? That's what you're drinking, guys, like $7 a case.
Budweiser Select. 61,
I've never had a Budweiser Select.
61.5% fall in the last 5 years.
Must not be any good. I've never had it.
And the worst one, 69.6%, almost 70% drop in sales the last 5 years, Michelob Light.
Oh, Michelob Light.
Michelob Light. Weekends were made for Michelob, I guess. Hey, we got to take a break. Oh. We are Fligger and Briggs, the Asylum Fantasy Football Show.
We're back on the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN on Twitter. It's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show. Heading into the last segment here, Rick, before we get into the game and into fact or fiction, I have one hockey story I want to get. We promised hockey, beer, and football, the ultimate. Did you happen to catch the Penguins-Bruins game? This is about a week old now. We weren't able to get to it on Sunday. Just something I want to, if you didn't see it, Boston's Sean Thornton. Looking for a fight, Brooks Orpik, is what happens in the NHL. Brooks Orpik makes a good, clean hit but hurt a guy, so they want him to fight. Brooks Orpik refuses to fight. So there's one of those scrums they have in hockey, which kind of annoy me even as a hockey fan. Thornton comes up behind Brooks Orpik, slew foots him. If you don't know what a slew foot is, if you're not a hockey fan, you basically just kick a guy's legs out from underneath him from behind. Gets him down on the ice, blasts him in the face 3 times, knocked him completely unconscious, completely unconscious. Brooks Orpik has no memory of anything that happened after the national anthem. The NHL continuing to drag its feet on any type of discipline whatsoever. Rick, as I watched this as a hockey fan, probably a hockey fan first, which might sound weird coming from a guy doing a football show right now. Well, a college hoops fan first, but a hockey fan. I love the game of hockey. This is why it will forever be the fourth sport in the United States of America.
It's ludicrous. And I'm hockey fan second. I'm football first all the way. But, you know, I watch a lot of hockey. And what kills me about this whole thing is why they're dragging their feet about this whole situation. It didn't take them long to go after Todd Bertuzzi when he come from behind and did the old bulldog on the guy planting his face in the ice. And I mean,
Marty McSorley got arrested for that hit on. Was it Brashearie hit? Who was it he hit?
Ah, boy, I wish.
I can't remember. It doesn't matter.
Right,
he came up from behind him,
exactly,
hit him in the head with a stick. He was arrested after the game.
Yeah, exactly. So why is this any different? This is totally ridiculous.
It was a mugging. It had nothing to do with the game. I got into a fight with a guy on Twitter.
And
it was hockey code. That's not hockey code, attacking somebody from behind. Yeah, maybe you think Orpik should fight. Fine. You go after him, good, clean hit, you engage him, or you find somebody on the Penguins who is going to fight. What this equates to is a stinking mugging. There's no place for it in the game, and here's my point.
It's cowardly.
Exactly.
Cowardness. That's all it is.
No question about it. Here's the point. If this guy plays ever again in the NHL, I think the league loses all credibility. I'm willing to go that far.
Well, he's going to play.
He went off on the stretcher. He was out cold. And then we get to see him. He's all weepy in the post-game press conference. Oh, he didn't mean for that to happen. Well, there's a lot of people sitting in prison who hit somebody or did something and killed someone who didn't mean to do it. That's not an excuse. That doesn't excuse any of it. And watching this stuff, I like the hitting. I like fighting. I think fighting has a place in hockey. It's what sets it apart.
Sure.
This nonsense, this garbage is what's got to go
away. Because it's not fighting.
And furthermore, not to be a Penguins homer, in the same game, James Neal knees Brad Marchand in the head. For him to only get 5 games, I think, is a little absurd, too. But the NHL is going through this farce like all the other leagues are, like the NFL's doing, that we want to protect the players and no more headshots. And you're going to allow
that
to go on?
I saw your fight on Twitter. I saw your fight on Twitter. And there's people out there saying Neal's kneeing was dirtier than Thornton's mugging of Brooks Orpik. How ludicrous. I mean, how unintelligent are you?
A slew foot and three punches when Orpik never saw you coming.
Yeah, never saw you coming. That's just a sucker punch in a bar.
And here's what's
going to
happen. 10 games. 1/8 of the football. I guarantee you that's all he gets. Today's Thursday, if you're listening live, if you're listening on the Armed Forces, he's meeting with them Friday, so we may know this by the time you hear it, what the discipline's going to be. I guarantee it's not enough. What I say, if he ever laces up the skates ever again here in the NHL, it's too soon.
What was Todd Bertuzzi? A full season, wasn't it?
I think so,
I think
yeah.
It was like January to January, I believe it was. I think it was a complete calendar year, maybe.
And I think this was worse. I honestly do. So maybe
it was every bit as equal.
I'm willing to grant, I'm letting the results. If Brooks Orpik doesn't get knocked out cold, we're not talking about this. I understand it. But it illustrates what can happen when you allow this nonsense to go on.
I agree. It's totally ludicrous. And I don't know where this code thing comes from. It's some mysterious meaning that somebody dreams up in their head, well, I can do this because of the code. I write it on a wall somewhere and let me see it.
Right.
If somebody doesn't want to fight you, then you have full right to blindside him in any means possible to injure this guy.
It makes the league look like a joke. Gary Bettman is a joke. That's why I bring this up. In a game I love, it saddens me. And Chris Nickel on Twitter, you're an idiot. Shut up. How about that? All right, Rick, let's move on. Let's get it back to fantasy football. Let's play the game.
That sounds like fun to me. It's time for Fact
or Fiction. Wow, are we hacky.
Yes, and whoever has never heard
Fact or Fiction. Let's pod that down so you can do that. All right.
Okay, so we are Fact.
There's Fact.
Or Fiction.
All right, Rick.
Simple as that.
All right, I'll start this show.
Fabulous prizes.
All right, Rick. Dovetailing off our previous conversation, Rick, Fact or Fiction, Kirk Cousins, a viable fantasy play for the remainder of the season?
I think so.
Well, no question about it.
So he's certainly proved it in the past. And look, RG3, whatever his problems are and why he's being benched, he's having a bad year. There's something in this guy's head. He's not a completely 100%. To that end, I will agree with it. So whether I agree with him being benched, which I don't, I think he should play out. But Kirk Cousins is in there. I think the guy's healthy. I think he's full of confidence. And, you know, I think he's really looking to make a name for himself, and he's going to be a good start.
Every time he got the ball in his hand last year, Rick, he succeeded.
Exactly.
And big, not just held it together. He put up some big numbers and looked good. And you look at these final three games, the Falcons, Cowboys, and the Giants. There's a team you can put some numbers up on.
Sure,
I like his matchup. I have leagues, Dynasty League specifically, Shane Hallam's Dynasty League. We're in the Early Bird Fanatics League. I'm in the final four in. I've been starting RG3. It was a Dynasty League, so I reached for him a little bit. Don't really have a viable backup. I'm going to pick up Kirk Cousins. I think he can get me through the playoffs. I'm that confident in this kid.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Okay, my fact or fiction is actually my second question, but I'm going to dovetail off of the first one. Kirk Cousins will play good enough down the stretch to earn Washington at least a second-round pick next year in a trade.
Ooh.
Had to think about it.
I did. Well, because it's two answers. If you're the Redskins, do you trade him? Is it worth it?
Yeah.
Is it worth trading
him? You need so much help, you're going to get what you can get.
He's going to play well enough to command that pick. I don't know that the Redskins do it. I worry, honestly, getting back to, I don't want to spend the whole show on this, but it's hard not to. I worry, you know, Mike Shanahan's gone. He has to be.
True.
RG, if it's going to come down to Mike Shanahan or RG3, you're going to pick the young quarterback every time. I worry, though, if he ever bounces back from this, at least in Washington, and he's stuck there for however long that rookie deal is, I don't know if you move Kirk Cousins knowing that Shanahan could have completely screwed him up. So the answer is fact in terms of he is good enough to command a second-round pick. I just don't know if they do it.
Fair enough. I think they will if they get the opportunity, simply because they need so much help everywhere else. Look, their wide receivers are getting old. They need help on defense by oodles. And I just think if they can, I think they will make the deal. But
how happy are you if you're Jeff Fisher right now, by the way? Your team's not going to make the playoffs. You're a top 20. You got a top 20 pick. Plus, you own this train wreck that has become the Redskins' first-round pick this year. Watch out for the St. Louis Rams. You talk about building for the future. Two high draft picks, or you could put them together, do whatever you want. We'll get into that in the offseason. With all these quarterbacks coming out, the Sam Bradford questions are going to start. This number two or three overall pick's probably it's going to end up being, Rick. What do you do there? Do you look at a Johnny Manziel or a Bridgewater? I'll be curious, but we'll worry about that in the offseason.
Yeah, we got plenty of time to cover that. Let's move on.
All right,
Rick. Exciting game.
Fact or fiction, something you deal with, I know, in the League of Consequence in which you're still playing. Fact or fiction, very simple. Roddy White is back.
I think Roddy White's back. The Falcons stink.
Oh, yeah.
But... And you have to consider that. You're not going to get some of these monster numbers from White like you have in some of the years past recently. But, yeah, I think he's back. The last couple of weeks, he's really put together some pretty good games.
18 catches for 217 in the last two
And Harry
games.
Douglas is certainly two
still
catches.
Still getting it done.
Well, two catches last week.
For the week prior,
very
his
quiet.
Numbers
yeah,
were equally
exactly.
as big.
He's still the number two guy. And look, Roddy White has a great matchup against the Skins this week. And I think Atlanta can certainly move the ball on these guys. And I think Roddy White's going to have a big game coming up here. I think he is back.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Rick. There's just – he's healthy. I think what it comes down to, he's finally healthy. He tried to play through – you always marveled at, and unfortunately it came undone this year, that he'd never missed a game in his career.
Right.
In the beginning of the year, he was playing in games he had no business playing in because that's what he does. They finally sat him down. He's worked his way back. Look, Matt Ryan's still a darn good NFL quarterback, at least in terms of numbers, a darn good fantasy football quarterback. Steven Jackson on the comeback a little bit. I'll tell you what, with not a lot of changes, I can't explain what happened with the Atlanta Falcons. I think going into next year, just as they're constructed, this team's still a contender. Offensively, that's a darn good football team. I don't know what's happened. But Roddy White, a healthy Roddy White, I think is going to continue to put up these types of numbers. These are the types of numbers he puts up, and I think I feel good about getting him in that flex spot. He's been on your bench. There's somebody on your team you can sit down in favor of Roddy White from here on out.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm not as thrilled about the Falcons' chances next year. Look, you know, Tony Gonzalez, you know he's not going to be back.
He might as well not come back this year.
Yeah, exactly. Though. Well, who knew they were going to be this bad?
Well, you're
not,
right.
Not a person I know.
Well, who knew he was going to be this bad? Though.
Right. But, I still worry about the running back position. Look, Steven Jackson can't have much left in the tank. He's on the other side of 30. And, boy, I tell you, it worries me what they have behind him. Jaquizz Rodgers has proved he's not an every down back. Jason Snelling, if he's not riding around smoking weed, eating it, trying to get rid of it. Is very underwhelming, and they just don't really have anything there.
He's all right if he's not high, but he's not an every week start.
No, by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, you're looking at Matt Ryan. You know, he's carrying about an 89 QBR this year. You know, 21 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. With a crummy team, that's what you're going to get.
Right, right.
So, yeah, he's still a good quarterback. Okay, fact or fiction. John Gruden is coaching Houston next year.
John Gruden's name comes up for every coaching vacancy.
And of course, that's why I brought him up.
Precisely. I don't know John Gruden. That may surprise you. We haven't met. I haven't had the pleasure.
Really?
I'm sure we get along swimmingly if we ever did meet.
Oh, no doubt.
I watched this guy on Monday Night Football. He loves it. I've got to wonder. He's reminded me of Bill Cowher. Bill Cowher is the other name that always comes up. These guys, it's better money, or at least equal money. You're home 4 days a week, 5 days a week. You get to go to the game. You get to be around the players. You get to be in the locker rooms. And he's good. He's darn good. One of the best color guys since John Madden. If not, I might enjoy him, but I like him better than Collinsworth. I like him better than all these guys on the networks week in and week out. This guy right now is the best at what he's doing, and he really seems to love it. I don't see him giving it up. Why would you do it? He could write his own check there and not have to sleep in his office. I don't see him coaching anywhere.
Yeah, I agree. It's just been one of those things always kicked around. As soon as there's a pretty nice job,
right?
You know, with a good nucleus of talent there. Oh, John Gruden could put.
Yeah, there's
together.
No reason Houston's this bad. Houston's a playoff team.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened. They're a playoff team.
Yeah.
You could go in there and make a playoff run next year.
Real quick.
Why would you do it?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that was easy enough. Rick, fact or fiction? Josh Gordon will continue his torrid pace over the last 4 weeks.
And I will clarify that by saying, is he going to have 250-yard games? Probably not, but I think he's certainly going to be, you know, a 100-yard guy every week going out. Him and Campbell have great chemistry, and, you know, I think he's getting the start now, and he's actually putting up
numbers. He's got even better chemistry with Wheaton, so
yeah.
I think he's just that good.
He is. He's just that good, and he's one of those guys it's hard to match up against. In fact, maybe Mr. Elam can start trash-talking Josh
yeah,
Gordon,
go
too.
Go ahead and do that as well.
But, yeah, I think he's just one of these guys. He has vaulted himself. If he can keep his head on straight and stay on the straight and narrow, you'll be talking about Josh Gordon every year with Brandon Marshall,
yeah.
Andre, Calvin, these
he's
kind
in
of
the
guys.
Same breath with Calvin. You mentioned Elam,
right.
Who was talking Calvin Johnson. And it's telling, and I see it the same way. I think of Josh Gordon in the same regard as I think of Calvin Johnson. Look, nobody's Calvin Johnson. Don't get
right.
me wrong. I'm not saying they're equal. However, that's the level I find him on. Look, the last 4 weeks, 125, 237, 261,
yeah.
151.
It's crazy.
Every once in a while, some dummy will pop up with a 250-yard game or a 200-yard game. You do it twice in a row, you're averaging just shy of 200 yards over four games. That's not a fluke. This guy's
no.
the go-to guy. And you hit on it, and you said if he keeps his head on straight, he was suspended coming into the year. You haven't heard a thing. Other than the Browns desperately trying to get rid of him there for a while, unexpectedly when they got rid of Trent Richardson, this guy's kept his mouth shut. He hasn't had any trouble, and this guy has performed. He's the number one receiver in the NFL right now, above the likes of Calvin Johnson. And I think he's number two in the league right now in terms of fantasy football. If we were redrafting right now, it'd be Calvin Johnson. Then it would be Josh Gordon for me. That's how solid he is, and I don't see any reason he would slow down now.
Yeah, I mean, he's leading the league in receiving, and that's no small feat.
No, not in the league with Calvin Johnson, with Larry
and
Fitzgerald.
And he didn't start the season.
Right, he missed two games.
Exactly. Okay, my turn. Fact or fiction, Rick? Mike Smith is still coaching Atlanta next year.
I'm going to give that one a fact. He had this team on the verge. They were a number one seed last year, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know what happened here. He doesn't seem like he's lost the team. There's just something wrong there. And the owner down there, help me out here. I'm blanking on his name. He's a Home Depot guy. I'm completely
right, – yeah.
I keep wanting to say Kraft. That's the Patriots. I can't believe it. It's a pretty good show. I can't. But you know who I mean.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's going to blow coaches out of there. Smith's done a good job. They've built a little bit of talent there. I think they missed on Steven Jackson, some issues on the defense. It's not like they've lost him. You don't hear rumblings coming out. You don't hear any of that nonsense like you hear coming out of Houston and coming out of Washington. I don't see any reason to get rid of him.
Well, Houston, he's already gone.
Well,
so.
Well fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I agree with you there.
All right. Well, let's move on, Rick. Fact or fiction, the Patriots will suffer offensively the rest of the year with Rob Gronkowski out.
Of course you're going to suffer when you lose Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, that's a dumb question, but how much do they suffer?
Well, we saw at the beginning of the year. Everybody was talking about how the offense was spitting and sputtering without Gronk in there, and of course they were adjusting without Hernandez and Gronk all at one shot, but they got through it. And they won games. So, yeah, I think it's
kind Arthur of, Blank for people.
Yeah, Arthur
sake.
Arthur
there
Blank.
There it is.
But they got through it. They won games without Gronk. He came back. They really started clicking. Yeah, I think they are going to suffer because what him and Brady have together in that field is tough to match.
Right.
And there's not a tight end coming out. They're going to start making catches. And
right.
that's he just lost a weapon. Think, you know, it's not, you know, Jake Ballard's not coming out there and catch passes. So let's just face it. But I'll tell you what it does do is it makes Julian Edelman a lot more viable, I think.
Here we go again with him. Absolutely. Here's the bottom line, Rick. I'm willing to go this far. With him gone, they don't beat Denver to get to the Super Bowl. Let's look at it real quick. I know we're running out of time. We got about a minute left here. Without Rob Gronkowski at the beginning of the year, Tom Brady had three games under 200 yards. He had 9 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Yeah.
He was pedestrian without Rob Gronkowski.
Well, we had the conversations. Do you bench Brady?
Yeah.
And
that's specifically why we had them. And I think they go back to that. And
I don't think they regress that bad because they got through it. And I think I think Brady will adjust. But they will suffer
some,
of course.
They certainly suffer, no question about it. Well, Rick, we are completely out of time.
Hard
against the clock. Thank you to everyone for listening. Check us out Sunday live, 10 o'clock Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. We're the Sunday Inside Slant. Check us out there. Thank you to the Armed Forces Radio Network at the AFRN on Twitter, armedforcesradionetwork.co. And, of course, check us out at asylumfantasysports.com, at asylumfootball on Twitter, asylumfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Thank you again to everyone to listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.